the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Maroora's Magic Supercoach Quick Fire Q&A heading into round 16 or in for round 16. Few questions have come in this week, and mate, they're tricky. They're tricky, and it's made me realise how trickier this game is, particularly this time of year, Supercoach, than fantasy is, because not just you have to worry about cash gen, points, coverage, but this just is trades remaining adds a huge other element on top, an overlay on top for strategy. So like fantasy is quite easy to work out who you, what I think the best answer is for trades. Do you target the value pre and whatever it is, whatever time of year? It's quite often you just look back what's happened in the past. Whereas with the trades remaining element and whether the decision needs to be to take a haircut on your upgrade to keep the trade buffer or to use trade to get the better premium, depending on how many trades you got left, makes it very, very tricky. But we'll do my best. There's a lot of very team-specific questions here, but hopefully my answers can work for your situation or at least have a bit of learning. So first one here is pre-trades has a completed team, but that includes Zeeble and Briggs. Five trades remaining, but they own Oliver. So they're going to have to field a rookie this week for Oliver, being a five Johnson Humphrey, while he's out for maybe 1 or 2 weeks, or can use a trade this week to trade Humphrey, or two trades, sorry, Johnson down to a rook and then Humphrey to Butters, and then get a 23rd premium, have three trades remaining with that 23rd prem going. All sounds good, but at one point this coach wants to offload Zeeble to Sicily and Briggs to English, and that's going to be impossible to do with three trades. Firstly, I think Zeeble, it's too late to trade him out given the cash he's dropped those last 5 weeks and that tough buy around last week. So whereas the Briggs move maybe to English, but I'd wait a few weeks and potentially it's a cheaper Darcy, which you might not need those trades for. So firstly, I think I would make the move and get the premium in this week and get those points, particularly because Humphrey's losing cash. So I think you want to trade Humphrey anyway. So maybe you could trade Humphrey, see what a fire for a Johnson scores as cover, and if they're good, then you can keep them. Dockers play early enough in the week. Obviously, that restricts who you can then trade in. Dockers play the first or equal first game on the Saturday. So that could be the best play. Still do the Humphrey downgrades. You've got the cash buffer. Loop Fife out of those. I'd like Fife the best versus Bulldogs under the lid. If he scores 80 plus, you take it. Hope Oliver comes back and you're going to really work well there. I've mentioned before I wouldn't be trading out Oliver now you've held him for this long. If he doesn't, what do you do? And I think the upgrade, rather than a Butters type, it could be a defender mid DPP, whether it's a Doherty, you've probably already got a Sinclair, Will Day. And by doing that then means that you've got your that 23rd player you're bringing in is a defender. So Zeeble all of a sudden becomes your D7. We know he's got a big ceiling. They've got St Kilda again soon, the team he put the 160 on earlier in the year. And that's where the extra number can be in defence. I think that's where I'd go. So I'd use one, leave you with four. If five does well, then you've got four to still get your final upgrades, try to target Sicily or an English or a Darcy, I think, for Briggs in a couple of weeks. But if it doesn't, I think I'd do a defender, keep Zeeble, and hope that the combination of looping between a Zeeble and whoever you get in, whether it's a Doherty and your then D6, can score close enough to what a Sicily would have scored. And I'm doing something similar. Obviously, I haven't got Jack Sinclair, but I've got a Will Day and a Harry Sheasel, and I'm hoping over the course of the year, if I loop those two players, that I'll get a score close enough to what a Sinclair's dishing up each week and save me a trade of either of those up to them. Trades here are Humphrey and Johnson to Mullen and Libba or Butters. I've mentioned before, I think I'm Libba over Butters for safety. I think that Butters might see some more attention back half year, whereas Libba just seems to continue doing what he does. Main concern here is the dead rookies in the background, Constable and Chesser. And even a Mullen. So if you take Butters this week, could work towards getting Sicily in and put one of the defenders to M8. Do you think that's a good option? Yeah, a bit like the one before. I think lots of teams seem like they haven't got coverage in defence and in the forward line, and you'll find, we saw it last year when Hewitt was missing, the value of coaches who have that cover, and we might even see it next week if Dunkley were to miss or is to miss with that calf. I know they just said it's precautionary, just a cork, but last time we heard about a cork calf was George Hewitt last year. So who knows? I think I never used to be a fan of having the DPP in the midfield, because typically the top eight scorers are midfielders and you want midfielders in the midfield. But in this fixed trade scenario of super coach, I think it's going to be pretty valuable to have a swing in defence and forward, so when you do have injuries, you can flick around and have that coverage. So I like that plan of having that. This coach has emailed me a couple of times this year where he just plays for leagues, which is great, and I encourage everyone to go in their own leagues, because rather than trying to compete against 200,000, you're competing against your mates, a bit more banter, a bit less stress. But he's found himself in a position where he's going really well, ranked in the top 150, still 800 points off the lead, 380 points off 10th. His question is, does he save those seven trades he's got left for finals to try to win his league finals, or does he have a crack to win it overall? Put in the insights that Tommy, when he came top 10 that year, he was coming outside the top 100 this time of year and came storming home. We see it every year with teams with trades up their sleeve. And if you've got seven trades up your sleeve, then you've got a lot more than those in the top 100 that you can do the big. You might be able to walk away with an Oliver, a Sicily, where some coverage and some injury trades, which other coaches might have to wear a donut. So I'd still personally be trying to chase. And this week I'd be still got two upgrades to make. I'd be making those trades and getting those upgrades done. This one, need a defender rookie, looking at getting Oisin Mullen despite not being named. Other option is Constable. Oh, so his other bench rookie is Constable, so his bench is poor. Is it worth paying up a bit extra for a better rookie like Faye? Faye's had his chance. He's been dominating in the twos. If he's named tonight, you'd be very tempted to do so, but he's had every chance. He's had periods there where Cummings not playing, he's had periods there where Himmelberg's not playing, Haynes not playing, and he still hasn't had a proper crack at it. So you'd think this week with no Whitfield that he'll get named, he's still named on the extended bench. I think you'd rather not let that impact the upgrade and save, go down to the basement price and save that extra cash for your premium upgrade. And that's where the DPP, again, could help. So you've already got Constable back there who might be able to help your swinger, the midfielder back if you have them. But, that coverage is going to be key. But I think there's just as much chance Oisin Mullen, who it's crazy to say given he's only played, I think, seven games of Australian rules football, not just AFL, in his life, just as much chance he plays for Geelong than Faye does for the other team. Scenario here that he had planned to straight swap with not many trades up his sleeve. I think he's got three trades left. Humphrey to Callum Mills this week, but Humphrey scoring 34 last week's derailed that, and he can't do the straight swap. So does he wait 1 week knowing that Mills is going to drop cash and he can do that straight swap to get Mills M8 next week and have two trades left, have to rely on a Matt Johnson or a Seamus Mitchell? Obviously, you'll be able to loop those, I think, by looking at the schedule. You'll be able to loop those and hope you get a decent score the way Seamus is going. Grab Petrarca using two trades this week, which only leaves you with one trade remaining for the season. Or do a trade this week so you don't have to field one Humphreys losing cash and don't have to field a rookie and go for more like a Himmelberg type. I'm not convinced Himmelberg's best 22 scorer. I think we saw it last year, the 110 back half the year, but different system, different players back there. I think he's going to be closer to the 9,500 mark, which is great and great value, but I think you're going to be giving up points to those with the top six defenders or forwards. Mills, I think, is great. There's no question, But Petrarca's going to outscore for the year, and I personally think it is worth that extra trade to get, firstly, Petrarca this week rather than waiting a week for Mills. You get extra points for the first week and then extra points on the way home. I'd be using those two trades. Leave with one trade left. I've mentioned before I had one trade left this time last year, and while I got a bit lucky with a I had to use my last trade to fix that one, but I got a bit lucky with Cripps getting off the appeal. Otherwise, I would have had to wear a couple of donuts. If you've got okay coverage, which sounds like you do with a Johnson and Seamus Mitchell, I'd be going straight to Petrarca and going for the best. I think this coach is quite highly ranked, which is good. This coach here has a trade to make. Will be down to only one injury trade left. Has a bit of cover. Does he trade? He's got both. He's got the English Marshall and Briggs combo, which he needs to get rid of one of them and wants to get some cash for that extra trade. So does he trade Marshall, keep Briggs at R2 and have 128K sitting there to bank for that one injury trade? Or does he trade Briggs, keep Marshall and only have 23K sitting there? So I know coaches like to keep cash there for that injury trade because just say Josh Dunkley, as we've seen, say if he doesn't play, if he gets ruled out for 4 weeks, he's going to drop in cash for that low score. Then you need that extra cash to make the extra upgrade you need. But I've never been one to carry cash, so I'd just purely pick, be aggressive and pick the player who you think's going to score the most from here at the end of the season. And for me, it's Marshall is going to score more than Briggs. From here, this coach has 5 trades left, can afford any defender under 560K using one trade or use 2 trades and get any defender you want. I'd use 2 and get the best. 5's in a luxury position. You'll be left with 3 left remaining, which I think is going to be about average with the teams around the top. And if you can, teams around the top have been taking haircuts amongst their positions. So try to get the best player if possible. A couple more questions here. This one, I'm still trying to comprehend this one because it's got 10 trades remaining plus a boost entering this round and getting close to full primo with different ways. So they could do a double upgrade in the back line with a Dock and a Houston, who's Houston's close enough, I think, to the top. Just bringing one of those and then bringing in Keys instead. So is it Dock and Houston or Dock or Houston and Keys? I'd do Dock, who I think is going to be a top 6 defender, and I think I'd do Keys, who's looking closer to a top 6 forward. So I'd be that second one, but gee, you're in a good position then. Potentially, with those trades you've got remaining, you could do that, knowing Keys is going to make some cash, and then even upgrade him and or do some moves in the few coming weeks to get the luxury upgrades, which a lot of coaches up the top won't have the luxury to do. This coach has Yo, D6, has Wilmot as cover, who went great last night, so I wouldn't worry about it this week. I'd take Wilmot's score and then worry about it next week, where Wilmot's got West Coast and could easily put up a decent one again. Obviously, at one point, you're going to have to trade Yo, but gee, that Wilmot's taking the kicking duties. He's looking really, really good. This coach has 7 trades left, which is a great number, but has no cash gen. The only players on the bench getting games are Marek and Chessa, who aren't making any cash. Wants to get Mills next round. One more look, plus you're going to lose cash. Yeah, the beauty about not having much cash is that there's some potential best 22 players at great value, and that will be Mills next week. I think it will be Jack Steele maybe next week or the week after, who at the start of the year we earmarked to be top 8 mids, and now you're going to get them mid-price of value. So it's okay if you haven't got much cash. You're just going to have to take a punt on some of these flyers rather than getting the Petrarcas or the Liberatores, which other coaches are doing. And with 7 trades left, I think you'll be able to do that, but I wouldn't be too much panicking to get the extra cash gen. So the question is, would you trade Marshall to Briggs to generate a bit more cash and get a better averaging player? No, I wouldn't do that. I think that's a waste of a trade because I doubt Briggs is going to average more than Marshall on the way home, and I'd rather use that trade to potentially luxury upgrade to get a Sicily when he returns later in the year. Another one who went the Elliott Yeo move. His option is to trade Yeo to a similar price player and use one trade, have four remaining. There's Mills and Cripps. Or use the two trades and get a Petrarca Liberatore. A bit like the question earlier. I think I'd use a two trade, get three remaining, and get a Petrarca or Liberatore and get a guaranteed top eight. This close, the fact that we're running out of trades and this is your complete side. Early in the year, if this was the starting squad, I'd be at Callum Mills and a Cripps every day of the week because I want to look for value upside and spread my funds. But knowing that you're going to be stuck with this player for the rest of the year, you want those who are dominating. And while Cripps, we've seen him do it at his best before, he hasn't done it this year and hasn't had a heap of excuse. I know he rolled his ankle that game, but he's still been running out and just not quite getting the big scores. Mills has had excuses. Obviously, he's had the sub game last week, the injured game the game before he played. He played in defence when they were down. So he has had excuses, and that's where the upside remains there. But I'd rather go the big dog this week and potentially look at a Mills or a Cripps next week as a 23rd man, but we can talk about that come next week. Libber or Walsh. So this coach is currently ranked 73rd, so going really well. Does he think he should try to trade in a point of difference player to make up ground? But noting he's already got Butters, who's pretty lowly owned, Anderson, who's lowly owned, and Darcy Cameron. So the players he's tossing up between is Libber or Petrarca, who's the common name, or a Sam Walsh, who's much more unique. I wouldn't be going unique for the sake of it. And if you're ranked that high, where you really get a feel for where your team sits is this week, post-buys. For the last 4 weeks, we've had three trades per week where coaches have been potentially sideways trading premiums, best 18. You might have had good 22 players playing. Someone might have struck lucky and got 18 good ones. So this week, you'll get a good feel of where your team sits. If you're confident with your team, keep getting in the best players and you'll see your rank naturally go in. And for me, if it's Walsh versus Libber and Petrarca, I'd be a Petrarca first, even though he's highly owned between the rest. Then it's Libber, then it's Walsh. Is Caleb Daniel an option? Getting it done, those numbers. For some reason, I can't trust Bevo, but he is a unique one. I just don't know where he's going to be used week to week. Is he going to be a forward? Is he going to be a defender? Is he going to be a mid? Looks like since Treloar's back, he's being used as a defender, which is great, but Ed Richards is due back soon and Johannesson's due back soon. So what's going to happen there? So for me, I'm staying out of it. But yeah, he's been a great pod and one I've got wrong so far this year. Three trades remaining. Do you just hold these for injuries or can you start doing some luxury upgrading such as he's tempted to trade Witts to English? That's not what I do. I've actually, and a lot of people you would have seen, Tommy's best 22. He's got Witts being a top two ruck coming home. You're far better off holding those trades for injuries with still a long way of the season to go, knowing that lots of the concussion rule and the new tackles, players are missing week to week, that if you can save a donut and get an extra premium in the back end of the year, that's going to make a lot more than a jump from a Witts who might average 110 to an English who might average 120 and 10 points per week. You'll make up that 90 points in a round if you get an injury trade. So certainly hold those trades and maybe back half year we can look at some, with that 5 weeks to go when you've got a better sight for the end of the season, you can start doing some of those luxury ones. Final one, is it worth trading Briggs to English ASAP? Or do you hold off getting English yet and hope he has a llama moment, get sick, misses a week or two, knowing that a lot of the teams at the top have a English. I think you want to get English regardless rather than fading. I think he's proven he's the best ruck in Supercoach. So at one point you do want to own him, but the way Briggs is making cash, maybe it's not yet. Maybe it's in 1 or 2 weeks and maybe it's via someone else. Maybe it's via Darcy. So I wouldn't be doing that move yet. Hopefully Briggs has a good one. I know he's got a tough matchup this week, but teams have seemed to put up decent scores against those Melbourne duo. That's it for me. Good luck with your trades on the weekend. Captains, I mentioned I went Neil last night, which is a good one if you went the Dunkley or haven't used it yet. I'm pretty keen on Laird. I know that the Bont looks great versus Dock has done it against him in the past. Great at the Dome. I get a feeling James Ash might tag him given what they did last, what Bont did on them last time they played. And I have a feeling Shields will go to Dawson despite the fact that this big body mids of a Dawson and a Bont just seem to still get it done. They tackle well. They still win their possession. So I think they'll be fine. And Dacos should be fine too. So there's plenty of decent captain options this week. So all the best with that. And we'll chat to you next week with Tommy. Cheers, guys. We'll be right back.